Okay, that was Frank Zappa and his classic national anthem, Black Napkins. As I like to always say, when Carol and I and Jerry Fialka went to Frank's house on October 21st, 1988 and spent 7 hours and interviewed him, and it became the famous interview, 3.5 hour interview. When we were leaving, Jerry says, "Carolyn, do your Black Napkins." So she goes, doo-doo-doo-doo-doo, something like that. And Zappa leaps over, picks her up, hugs her, and whirls her around. So that'll be forever printed on our brains. Zappa liking Carolyn's version of the intro to this song we just heard. Now, let's see.
Black Napkins.
Okay, that's Roxy. I've added Roxy to the faculty. I'll unmute Greg Duffel in Canada. He's a new member of the faculty. This is office hours. We allow you to come in and talk to us professors and hear what our expertise is. And then Dave Neufeld, I'm unmuting him. He's in Canada. So the other guys, Blake and Chris, no, just Blake and Clinton are Canadians. The Blake and Zach and Chris, they can't make it today. I've added some new faculty so that we can have the group mind. And certainly Greg Duffel's qualified to talk journalism, politics, and he was a broadcaster. He inherited the Bob Marshall Show International Connection at CKLN from about 2000 to 2009. Greg, what year did it all fall apart? 9 and 10. I remember Dave came here, Dave Neufeld, who's on here. He came here on February 22nd, 2009. And we put him on CKLN, and whenever Dave gets on there, everything blows up. So a crisis happened. So it started the crisis in 2009, right, Greg? Are you there, Greg? I see your sip. You're unmuted. You know, Greg's having trouble speak. Anyways, so Greg ran CKLN, International Connection Show, till 2009, 2010. Oh, I see you're... Now you can speak, Greg. I can see your vibration. Do you see that, Dave? You see the red marks. That's a sign that the person is talking.
Right.
And
yeah.
Greg seen. Yeah, is that Greg? Did Greg say something? Anyways, so Clinton, did you play the first song?
Yes, that was the first track of the Buggles' Plastic Age album. Or The Age of Plastic is the name of the album. The song is called The Plastic Age. I think it was performed in tandem with their number one radio hit, Video Killed the Radio Star.
They did that?
That's right.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay, so what happens? When you play a song, you type it in the chat line so Bill can see it, so Bill can we have to register everything we play. So you put the artist name, you put the Buggles, and then the title.
I'll get that all on the up and up right now for Bill.
Right. Now, let's see. Have you come in, Greg? Greg's having trouble connecting for some reason. We see your red marker, Greg, which indicates you're making noise, maybe speech, but we're not hearing you. So I'll just keep babbling a little bit here. Dave Neufeld needs no introduction for people who listen to some other shows I have on here. Dave Neufeld's been part of it, and Dave Neufeld makes the music for Carolyn's show when Carolyn is on this station. She's not on this station right now, but Dave created the great intro. So you see, Dave, Greg has disconnected. So he's going to try again, I suppose. See the broken phone on the turbo bridge?
Right.
Yeah. And we'll keep Dimitri. He's the first student here waiting at the door. We'll keep him on the mute for a minute. Okay, here comes Greg, so I'll unmute him. Does that work, Greg? You're unmuted.
No, he's not getting any marks.
Not yet. Okay, see, Greg, we can see you trying to communicate, but it's not coming through.
That's weird. I notice he doesn't have a play icon between the word unknown and Canada. Does that have any impact?
Unknown
you know
that in Canada.
Is that a turbo bridge, Bob?
Oh, that,
oh yeah, yeah.
That's when you record your name at the start for the roll call. That just lets
oh,
him
okay.
record his name. Yeah.
The guy just no impact on.
Well, maybe
it's
Greg
weird.
Didn't do that, but he Greg knows he do that. You say your name
showing
in that.
Audio, but yeah.
So, Greg, you might have to phone in if that's possible.
That's strange, eh? Clinton's working. He's got a SIP thing.
Phone in,
yeah.
But don't phone it in.
Okay, so, Clinton, I didn't mention this to you, but I want to take your article. I want to go through it one by one. Dave read it. He thinks it's pretty great. I don't think Greg has read it. I sent it to him a few hours ago or last night or something. What do you think of that, Clinton? We reviewed your article.
That sounds like a great idea. Shall I set it up, what it's all about for our listeners here?
Sure.
Well, let's get the link up. Can you post a link to it right into the chat line right now so people can themselves?
Absolutely. I'm throwing it in the chat room. That's the chat box on ChiefRadio.com in Studio 1. So, what you're going to see there
that's
is
how you get
review.
Into the chat line? Well, when you're on the green board, it says on the right, you know, join chat line. That's how
yep.
you get in.
Yeah.
But you know
okay.
that.
Yep.
Okay, so we'll wait till you post it.
There you go.
There it is. Okay,
hello,
Roxy. Phil, Dimitri, Dave, click on it. Let's see what the heck is happening with Greg. Has he got in? No, he's disconnecting. Hey, Dave, do you have call waiting?
I do, actually.
Yeah, so you
I'll
could...
Back.
Oh, this...
Yep.
That's Clinton. Okay, Greg, you're unmuted because you can call him and bring him in, just like I brought Roxy in.
Yeah,
but let's see if he breaks through because he's been on SIP. He's been on here often. His SIP usually works. But let's just see if he gets in.
Great.
So Roxy, we are a university, a new kind of university,
okay.
And you are learning how to be a teacher. So. We'll be calling on you to discuss what you think is faculty and education and stuff like that. We're trying to get past the education problem and what to do with kids. What is instruction for today? That's one of our questions. So Greg has fallen off. So let me put Greg's number up in the private message, okay, for you, Dave?
Oh, okay. I don't get how I can bring him on the show. My call waiting means that if I'm talking on to someone and someone else calls, I can skip over to the other line and speak to them, and then I can skip back to the other line. But I can't then bring them into the other line that I had on. I can't say, bring them into our call. I don't have a means to do that on my Bell telephone service that I have.
Okay, what you do is, when you flip over to receive another call, if you flip that, no calls coming in, you press that, you'll hear a dial tone, then you dial Greg's number, and he'll be there, and then you flip it back, you press the flash, and you come back into here.
Okay,
never,
I've heard that, but I'll give it a shot.
Let's see if that works. But here's Greg, he's trying again. How you doing, Greg? I unmuted you. Okay, I'm going to post Greg's number up on the private line so you can call it, okay? It's at the top of the green board where we have private chat with Bill. Okay, it's... okay, this is his number. Now, Clinton, if you're back,
yep.
You type in the Buggles and Plastic Age down in the public chat line.
Ah, gotcha. I think Paul has it covered for. Oh, wait, no, he doesn't. He put the other song. Yep, all right, in the public chat line.
Yeah, I think he wants it there. Then he sees it or it gets registered or something. These are the new bureaucratic rules, which I didn't have to follow before. And we can't interrupt a song. I used to, like, play a song halfway through and then jump to another song. We can't do that. It violates somebody's rules. You know, Biden's rules. Biden's reset. He's resetting everything. Okay. Okay, so now, Dave, let's see if Dave is pulling off the call to Greg. Sorry about all this stuff, but who cares? It's behind the scenes. We're showing you how you make a show work. Yeah, what's the ground to this discarnate environment, or non-discarnate, depending on who you're talking to.
What's ground up into the sausage, more like?
That's right. And this is what Clinton addresses in his article.
Hey.
Okay. Did you bring Greg back in?
I'm here. Wow. So
hey,
far.
It worked.
Techno peasant fucking Bob has some little
energy
found back in the jungle. Oh, you osteopolekathist?
Whoa. Yeah, I know something Dave didn't know. That's never happened before.
Brings up the question evolution. I mean, maybe it's much faster or it's different than we thought. Yeah. Look at what Bob's able to do.
Yeah, this is incredible. Greg, we'll figure out your problem later, right? Next time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, because you've been on the show, Saturday show, through the SIP all the time.
Yeah, right? I know. I don't know what the problem was. I tried to fix it, but I couldn't. But anyway,
okay. Greg sounds great on the phone, no?
What?
Yeah.
Greg sounds great on this phone,
yeah.
Very clear. So, Greg, look at the chat line. Click on Clinton's recent post right above Phil. Phil says, yay. Above opening song, you'll see a link to New Aspirations. That's the article Clinton did for the McLuhan Gang. The McLuhan Gang in Toronto, the professors in that started a new site, taking off on McLuhan's Aspirations journal in the 50s and mid-60s, actually from 64-5 to 72, and so Clinton is the webmaster of that site, so he can stick anything he does on there, regardless of the profs. And so he managed to get his article, and I'll turn it over to Clinton to introduce what did you review, Clinton.
Right. So, yeah, it was my pleasure. New Explorations is more than just a website. It is a proper academic journal through and through. So I've got no control over the actual journal, but our little hangout online I do. Jerry Fialka, as I think most people listening know Jerry, he hooked me up with the screener copy for a documentary which premiered at the Sundance Film Festival early February, and it's called A Glitch in the Matrix. Out of Magnolia Pictures.
In the Matrix.
A Glitch in the Matrix by Rodney Asher. So even though I had a screener copy, it took me about a month even after it got released to pull my thoughts together and try to succinctly come up with a good review, because it's just an absolutely... It's a real romp through simulation theory and Gnostic thinking and the effects of computers on psychology and people's spirituality and whatnot. It's sort of a take on, if you think of the Truman Show syndrome, as people who think that they're stuck in the Truman Show, this is just a documentary on how the Matrix film is doing that to people who think that they're living in simulation. So that's what my review is. If you see the photo at the top there, that's a screenshot from the 1973 German film World on a Wire, which was the first major motion picture to on this science fiction premise of people trapped inside of virtual reality. And it was remade in 1999 as the film The 13th Floor.
Okay. I don't think I've seen either.
Oh,
looks like one of the members of Daft Punk.
Yeah, right?
Daft Punk. You mean the guy in the chair with the helmet on?
The guy in the chair, yeah.
the helmet. Maybe that's what they're referring to, if it's an exact replica.
Maybe.
Well, 1973, yeah, Daft Punk might be honing in on some classic Euro cinema culture there.
Right, so now I managed to find it on YouTube and watch it yesterday or the day before, Clinton. Is that, why would that be out there available for free?
I don't know. It must not have been taken down, because you're supposed to pay a couple bucks to go see the full film.
Oh, yeah, okay. No, you're right. You're right. I did. I rented it. Jeez, I forgot. I'm so used to getting stuff for free. Yeah, because $6.99. Yeah, I actually rented it. That's right. Sorry. Who knows? I've got many tasks now. I'm on the radio a lot more. The abstract effects may be scrambling me. When I got interviewed by Sean Stone, I hadn't thought about Evergreen stuff in years, but that's what he found in my background that he wanted to ask about. So, as Linda, a regular on my other show, noticed, while I was being interviewed, I looked off to the right, to the left, or whatever it is if it's not reversed, and I would look up in the corner, and if you do neuro-linguistic programming, where you look, according to the CIA people who created this discipline, that shows you your sensory bias. So I noticed I was looking off up there, trying to remember stuff to say about the Evergreens. I never really look off like that. But Linda noticed, you know, Bob, you don't do that. But I had to, because I had to remember stuff about the Evergreens and all that. So it's a different kind of presentation of me, which is not my normal self. So, and I am telling you people that point, if anybody cares. So I'm going to read the article. Out slowly, and Clinton, there are grammatical mistakes, so we'll point them out so you can correct them. You'll want to correct
them.
I'll
do that on
things.
The fly. I went through it 5 or 6 times, but no doubt you're going to find some more. All right.
Yeah, I'm very good at seeing stuff. Did you correct anything over the last 2 days?
Yes.
Okay, maybe you corrected what I saw. Okay, so I'll try to read it clearly. It's, you know, complex, long sentences. But we can do it slowly, and we got Dave Neufeldt and Greg. Dave Neufeldt, do we need any more introduction for you? Everybody knows about you, Dave. You're both in the social scene. You're the most famous producer after the guy who did Dylan. Who's the guy who did Dylan from Hamilton?
Who's the guy who did Dylan? What?
Yeah, who's the rock and roll producer who produced Dylan?
Daniel Lambois.
Yeah, Dave came in after Daniel Lanois took over the whole Canadian mantle.
Hardly. Yeah.
Take the bullshit, Dave. Take the exaggeration. Nobody's got time to check, to fact check it. Anyways, we know you're a great producer, and you make great stuff. So, here I go. So, you have a clause. Since the industry's pivot to peacetime in the late 1940s, so that's the opening point. I hope Dimitri and them can follow along. Since the industry's pivot to peacetime in the late 1940s, computers, so we're talking about computers as the industry, have come to constitute our modern material environment literally, metaphorically, and aesthetically. Okay, Clinton, literally is in the McLuhan sense? We're discarnate physically? What is the modern material environment literally of computers?
You're surrounded by computers. You've got 20 of them in your house at least, even if you don't own a computer.
So you're not talking about the discarnate effect.
Literally. Yes.
You're talking about just the objects. Okay, metaphorically, they've constituted our modern environment. Where's the metaphor?
We use computer metaphors as a means to understand the modern environment. In our very language, we describe our surroundings in their terminology, among many other metaphors, of course, that they've worked their way in, however.
Right. And so I would suggest to put linguistically in brackets after metaphorically to indicate that's what you mean, that it affects, changes our language, that we adopt words.
I'll consider that, yeah.
Yeah, because how would computers constitute our environment metaphorically?
Well,
like what? They're not here.
Well, we'll see. I think I do expand on that. Let's keep going.
Okay. And aesthetically, that's in the normal idea, right? They change their aesthetics?
Yes, yes, precisely.
Okay. Now, the next sentence is pretty interesting. You didn't know about this. Like a storefront window marketing display by Frank L. Baum, the ground floor street-facing showroom of IBM in the 1950s offered New Yorkers, regardless of outdoor conditions, a brightly lit, unchanging view into the timeless, abstract world of computing outside of our own. Outside of our own what? Our own view? Or
our own world.
Means.
Our
okay,
own human
so,
world.
So,
if you continue the sentence to the next
okay.
sentence.
Engineers in white lab coats move spindles of tape and decks of cards, literally working inside the computer as they bust data between shiny large cabinets for curious onlookers 24 hours a day. So you're talking about that cliche image where they're standing in front of these reels, or, you know,
that's right.
big computers. And,
that's right.
But they're in our world to see them.
Right.
How are they inside the computer?
Because a computer is the size of a building, as everyone knows. But that doesn't mean that it's just a giant box that people are standing outside of poking buttons on. A computer is a whole series of components, and computing is a whole process where nowadays all of those processes are all stuck on microchips, which can be soldered together on one or two boards, right? So back in those days, the CPU, the central processing unit, was an arrangement of several different cabinets, and you had to go and walk and take the thing from this cabinet and walk over and put it in that cabinet, right? You had to go through the process of computing. You were inside of the system, because the computer was an entire system of processes that people were a part of.
Right, you had to walk from one box of stuff to another box. And so
the
room of
take
the boxes
tape off this one,
was the environment.
That one, yeah. You're moving.
Yeah, I see.
The computer is not any one hardware device. It's the entire process of several of them with humans as an essential part.
Yeah, and Dave Gregorowski, have you ever seen a picture of the showroom of IBM in the 50s showing this? I've never seen that. I don't know if they're available.
Yes,
I haven't
I've
either.
Seen such computers.
Oh, I'll
yeah,
try
like
to find one.
Okay.
You say, Kate says, the people working with these computers were actually inside the computer.
They would say that. You knew that.
They were so big, they were in a room.
Right.
The people were actually moving inside the different parts of the computer.
Do you know that because of the fine French education you got in Mexico City?
Mostly because of my interest in electronic music.
Right, yeah. Yes, we should introduce Roxy. She's part of the faculty. She's a accomplished composer, electronic composer, who's been retrieved by pop culture, and they now interview her. She's a legend among the younger kids now, for some reason, mainly because she was the first woman in clubs, in club bands. And they also, there's a bunch of kids interested in the history of electronic music, and Roxy was way there back in the 80s, and she also became a student of Stockhausen in Berlin, and maybe other famous guys, like, who's the famous French guy that McLuhan had a dialogue with that you found funny? Philip somebody? Remember that guy?
No,
Pierre?
Pierre Babin?
Pierre Chaffer, or Chaffer.
Chaffez. Pierre Chaffez.
Chaffer.
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 Chaffer. Chaffer.
C-H-A-S-S. But I was not his student. I knew François Bell, who was in the group de recherche musicale.
Right. How do you spell that, the name you're saying?
Seminars with Eliane Radig.
Right. How do you spell Pierre's last name? And I don't know if I got it. Just say the letters.
I think it's S-C... H-A-S-S-A-R.
Roxy says the alphabet differently. A is E, E is I, it's all screwed up, so I don't know what she said.
I am a Mexican who lives in Germany, so I have to concentrate.
Yeah. S-H-S-R or something. Anybody get it?
Yeah, yeah. She's romantic in her speech.
Yes, but did anybody get the spelling?
No.
Well, I'm going to grade it.
Yeah, put on the
chat line.
Yeah, chat line. I forgot about that medium. Okay, so opening paragraph looks pretty good, Clinton. Okay? You tell us
well,
what
I get from
know.
That if I say it.
Yeah, go ahead.
In the 50s, you're moving from tubes, because the original computers were tubes, and then they move into transistors, which, of course, don't have the same heat or size, blah, blah, blah. And then they start to sort of integrate lots of transistors, a number of processors into the circuit, and bring out, you know, towards the late 50s, early 60s, into ICs. And so it's kind of interesting. In some ways, the humans are being integrated into the circuit in the 1950s, and then eventually, you know, they miniaturize that, and then the people, they don't really need them physically there.
Yep.
So it's kind of interesting. Yep. You still have that thing where now we teach AI what it's like to be human, how humans think, and it's almost like then humans were participating in the creation of integrated circuits by acting out as people the functions that would be done then by just the silicon, the computing, and the electricity.
Speaking
That's right.
of some of in the pop culture, a character being seen as being inside of a computer, there's a 1961 Bugs Bunny cartoon, Warner Brothers, where the Bugs Bunny is facing off with Wile E. Coyote, super genius. And the super genius decides, or he gets, a UNIVAC computer installed in his cave. And, of course, terrible things ensue because of this computer, but it's revealed at the end of the cartoon that we zoom in on the UNIVAC computer and Bugs Bunny is inside the computer. So, anyway.
The ghost in the machine.
Well, apropos, yeah. I mean, that goes back to the Mechanical Turk, right? The chess-playing hoax from the 1800s just had a midget who knew how to play chess inside of the magical mechanical chess-playing machine. Yeah, the thing is that you can think of these computers, they're simulating, they're processing data, but they're not working in real time. The computing, because people are being a part of the process, nothing is even close to a simulation. You're not interacting with the data the way that you are when now finally it's all operating as one collective whole. Computer is one device, and your interface is like a screen or a keyboard, which is responding back to you so rapidly that you're in an interactive process with it, right? Computers weren't interactive at this time. They were just part of the human workflow.
How about this? As the machines disappear, the humans, we talk about the ghost in the machine because we've disappeared, so maybe there's a ghost. We don't know, though. Because right? That's kind of a very wishy-washy with the ghost in the machine. You know, you can't really put your finger exactly what that is. You know, it's just implying maybe there's still some kind of human spirit or something infused into the machine. But it also is implying ghosts, that maybe there isn't anything left of us.
Yeah, exactly, Dave. That's exactly the sort of animism that people end up projecting onto our machines.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
right.
Lately, I've been reading a scientist, a neurologist, Mexican Jew called Jacobo Greenberg. He was studying how we perceive, and he got to the conclusion that we're actually like in an hologram where everything is contained, and we could access all information like in a hologram with our conscious. And actually nothing really exists, no sound, no light. Everything is created by your brain decoding these frequencies and waveforms and magnetism. And the illusion that we are this, the body for him was like some type of avatar, that this conscience needs in this 3D dimension to do things.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, he studied some shamans in Mexico, and he was very impressed by a healer called Pachita. He wrote a book in which he says he saw her materializing organs and doing this type of psychic operations that will be actually impossible. But he saw them, and he tried to explain how some people like these shamans, some can control like weather, some could materialize organs. And he said, actually, this conscience that we think is the brain is not the brain, that we can actually connect with this matrix that he called the lattice, and is not limited, that actually somehow the more you knew about this experience, how in this universe there is no good or bad, there is like chariots of energy, like negative, positive, and neutral. But for this being experiencing things, the important thing is to experience. So there is nothing good or bad in your life. At the end, everything is just an experience. And he did a lot of experiments with children. Well, he was trying to change education to develop other, like what we call psychic abilities. And he was studying extraocular vision, like children could see with their skin. And he will have like a technique in which he asked the children to imagine they could connect their third eyes to their hands. Mm-hmm. And actually they could not only see the pictures with their skin, but they could know things about things that were not even in the picture, like other people that were around and what they were thinking and all this. But he had to stop these explorations because the children started perceiving things that were not very nice, and they could also read their parents' minds, and their parents were not very happy. Everybody started to freak out, and then he disappeared, I think in 1997, a month after he met Carlos Castaneda, who was actually working for the CIA. Mm. And nobody knows what happened to this scientist.
His name's Jacob Greenberg? Jacob? Or Jacob O. Greenberg, right?
Jacobo Greenberg.
Yeah.
So many think he was kidnapped by the CIA, and all his studies were used for some type of MKUltra experiments, and there are many theories then about what happened, but...
you can Google him, right? You can find out about the controversy around his life on Google. He's a known person.
Yes, they just made a documentary about him.
Oh, okay.
It's called The Secret of Jacobo Greenberg.
Right.
And the director took like 11 years researching him. And he wrote like 30 books, and he was working for the UNAM, the National University of Mexico, which is like very, very well known.
Yeah.
He wrote many books where he explains all his understandings, his experiments, his theories, and a lot of people that work with him continue doing this and develop in different areas, and went more into education and meditation and healing or psychology.
Mm.
But
so he wrote these books before he disappeared. No books after he disappeared.
They just published one that they found, but was not finished.
Yeah.
But they just published a new one. And I was reading one in which he has a lot of little stories.
Yeah.
And he says he comes from the Andromeda Galaxy, and he was, like, punished because he tried to help people in this part of the galaxy, like in this planet, and
yeah.
that is not allowed. And so he had to reincarnate in this planet, like, 11 times, and he could, like, remember these lives, these past lives.
Mm-hmm.
And in that book, he tells about these different lives. Like, he was Andreas in the Bible. I don't know how you say that in English, the name.
Yeah.
And he had other lives in France and well, different lives. The last life was, of course, as a scientist in Mexico.
Well, that's amazing.
One, so.
How do you relate
yeah.
it to the computer topic? Why does this come up in relation
because
to...
Because he talks about the Matrix.
Oh,
all
yeah.
these things in the movie, the Matrix, many people say they were actually based in his ideas.
Well, the later ideas of the Matrix people got from him, is what you're saying.
Yeah, many things that are in the Matrix, he
oh, in the movie. In the movie, The Matrix.
Presenting them, yeah, that we can, we are actually multidimensional and we can actually interact.
Well, someone's gonna ask the Wachowski brothers that. Hey, you guys used Jacob Greenberg stuff, you know? That's
the Wachowski sisters now, Bob.
Yeah, I know. I know. I'll say Greg. Greg's always interested.
Yes, I mean that's the interesting thing that actually it's very interesting that we see the evolution of media eating the content of the present
yeah.
medium.
Yeah.
Until
yeah.
we got to the Android meme, and the Android meme eats actually the content of people.
Yeah.
It's and that's the interesting thing in media ecology. I think that's why people like you are into studying that, because as we try to understand what we are, what is conscious, what is this matrix,
right.
what is actually technology has helped us to understand how the universe is made, what are we, how these circuits are connected, the quantum. So thanks to these technologies, we have been able also to understand, to have a better understanding about what humans are.
Mm.
And like when your wife, Dr. Dean, tell us to have a better nutrition because your cells communicate better.
Yeah.
And like your brain function better, your blood feeds yourself in a better way.
Yeah.
These amazing circuits that are inside the body can connect and can work much better and can actually perceive much more and maybe activate all these things that the Dr. Greenberg was trying to develop.
Yeah.
That he was studying also many traditions like in the Tibet and Indian, try to see how people develop these psychic abilities.
Okay,
and
very
how
good.
We connect to the matrix.
That's very good information.
You know what I heard about
like
Dr. Greenberg?
Like a big computer. Sorry?
You know what I heard about Dr. Greenberg?
But
what?
He didn't look it.
But he didn't look green.
I'll leave you to interpret that. He didn't look it.
Okay, so look, Clinton, do we
yeah.
want to end a minute before the hour for some reason? To
we're never
going to
end the minute before the hour.
Oh, no. Well, I was just thinking a very fast recap as soon as the next MP3 block starts, and then we'll just take it where we're going. There's no reason to stop this. We're on a roll here. We're just getting started.
We got a hard week coming up.
Yes.
Now, like, what happens, Clinton, is on my show goes 12 hours. We just keep talking, and there might be a word blip, but not much. Okay. We don't have to be. Is that okay with you?
Yeah. All right. Let's just steamroll on through. Yep.
Yeah. And let Bill do it. Okay. So that was very good supplement there. From that's really amazing. If Greenberg is the source of the Wachowski sisters' inspiration.
Well, there's so many different people following this up. It's interesting to hear about Greenberg specifically. He's part of a long line and tradition of various thinkers reinventing, I don't know, what would you call it, Platonism and idealism within the latest metaphors and the latest thinking that technology and science gives people in which to even ideate these terms. And yeah, so that's, thank you, Roxy, because that's exactly what this documentary is about, people who are thinking this way, which is why.
Have you heard of Greenberg, Clinton?
No, not in particular. So it's good to have a specific concrete reference for this, because the reason the Matrix film was so popular is because it resonated with so many different people, touching, you know, on this sort of latent, virtual
science fiction theme.
Science fiction, right. It was a sort of hard sci-fi in a philosophical sense. Well, literally a Gnostic sense, right?
Yeah. Gnostic means, traditional Gnosticism is you feel the world is a fallen place, then you try to get somewhere else. You definitely don't take this world seriously.
You're alienated from this world. You fell into it, and it itself is fallen and damned, and you want to go back to where you came from or transform this world into what it's not but could be, which would be your home or your return home or what have you. Yeah, that's Eric Voegelin's formulation of it. He was sort of oppositional to the other people studying Gnosticism in the early 20th century, reviving it, so to speak.
Yeah, Voegelin. That's V-O-E-G-L-I-N, or is there another E in there?
There's another E in there. Yeah, Voegelin.
Yeah, V-O-E-G-E-L-I-N.
May I say just very fast, also Jacobo Greenberg was a big influence on Carlos Castaneda.
Castaneda, okay.
Castaneda is also considered a big, big influence in many, many artists and thinkers in the 20th century.
Oh, yeah.
Actually, he was looking into what Greenberg was doing.
Was doing.
And
he got inspired by Greenberg.
Yeah, he will go to the shamans that he was studying, and actually many say Don Juan is like a collage of many of these people.
Yeah.
Greenberg was studying.
Right, so Castaneda was following up on the people that he heard Greenberg studied with.
Yeah, so he's like the hidden background of many things.
Right, that's good. I had a thought there. So the Matrix, our fear of technology is that we're falling into another level of fallen world. Right, Clinton? That's the Gnostic part. We're falling into a bad world called the Matrix or hologram.
Yeah, and in this case, it's literally illusion. Illusion, right? Sure. There's this inevitable mind-body split dualism that I see McLuhan is trying to resolve in a very original way, through a very Catholic sort of way, which I'm trying to articulate. And the Matrix film as a cultural touchstone to which you can refer and to which everyone can relate is just a perfect case study for this discussion, which is why I'm really happy this documentary came out and why I tried so carefully to review it.
Is the idea that earlier that you expressed about IBM putting on basically street level propaganda?
Yes, I put a link up in the chat.
Seeing people inside of a computer, this is to they probably, well, this is done for a reason, right? It was done for publicity, for propaganda, as I said. But basically computers and the effects of computers are seen by the majority of people, I would put forward, as being almost magic. That
yes.
the, because they don't, they can't get in the computer. Most people cannot fix a computer if it goes wrong. They wouldn't know what to do. So a lot of the things, even what we're doing right now, where we're calling up this and calling up that, Bob explained how to do some things right before we went on the air. And,